Wow, practical Christianity. It's one thing to read the book, it's a different thing to apply it. Everybody can read the book. Turn with me to chapter 6 of Matthew. Is that where you taught from, the Lord's Prayer? You're safe. I'm going to teach around it. I'm going to teach the other parts that you left out. Matthew 6. Yeah, Bruce called him in really. Wow. Let's pray. We just say that so easily, Lord. But let's just communicate the Creator of all things. We shouldn't use the word just, I guess, or that's from my baby boom history. Father, that we can call the Creator of all things, the Ancient of Days, Father, is amazing. It doesn't have words. That we little pieces of clay, sentient beings, like a big anthill, can communicate with you. And that you are everything that you have said about yourself. You are good. You are merciful. You are slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. There's no one like you. We don't want there to be anyone like you. There is only one true God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us and being our constant companion and best friend and the one who teaches us how to come before God, and like the one who prepares us. Just being here is enough. And we honor you, Lord Jesus. Son of man, Son of God, seated at the right hand of our Father. Beloved. You overwhelm us. Communicate with each of us what you want to communicate before we leave. And as a family, and as cross relationships, thank you for this Lord's Day. In your name we pray. Amen. I love Simon Ponsonby. You know Simon Ponsonby. He's in England. He's one of the pastors at a church around Oxford. He was a butcher when he was younger. He's older now, and I just love him. And he was talking, Patsy and I were listening to him coming back from a surprise visit to Indianapolis this last week, and we were listening to him Friday, and he was talking from Genesis, and somewhere near the end of his talk, he's talking about Adam and Eve, and God giving Eve to Adam, and how we get culture on this planet is so warped that only in Christianity is the woman brought to this equal place with the man and honored. That most religions, women are not even mentioned, or they're mentioned in the background of their holy scriptures or whatever. And he said that, you know, Adam became like the servant to Eve after Eve had been made alive. And he did a lot of things for her. And Simon was saying this, I started this daydream in my head, and I was thinking, that's exactly Jesus. That's exactly the same thing, is that Jesus is Son of Man, Son of God, is set down at the right hand of all authority. The Father's made him this place of honor because he's been the obedient son, carrying out his life exactly as the Father had asked him to do, to the nth degree, every piece of it. And you would think in reality that we being created and being his children, that he would ask us someday to go to heaven and to live with him. After all, he's God. And what do we see in the end is that he's making a new heaven and a new earth, and this earth becomes the central hub of everything, this new city, this new Jerusalem, and Jesus comes to live with the bride. He comes to live with us, not us going to live with him. That's profound. That illustrates love, doesn't it? I mean, that we're walking this out, this whole, it's just one story. God is love. We're his children. We're part of his family. We're learning to love. And in all of you just said, it's hard. And others had said that at the meeting, were honest enough to say it, that it's hard to do this. And then this is the thing that we're doing. Okay, so I'm just going to spend a few minutes here. The Sermon on the Mount is like chapters 5, 6, and 7. Like y'all know it because it looks around like it looks like everybody's Christian. I don't need to worry about this. So Jesus is you know, he hits the ground running for 3 years of ministry, 3.5 years, you know, roughly. I mean, he's ministering all the time. I'm sure he takes off some of Sabbath, but even on Sabbath, even the day to rest, he's still praying for the sick, you know, getting into trouble with the locals and all that. And he's got this job that the Father has given him, and we can tell that there's a job kind of description in that. I mean, even when he says that, when they give him the scripture the first time to read, and he picks up Isaiah, and he starts talking about himself, but he's talking about the Messiah, the role of the Messiah, what the Messiah would do, and he does these things. So, of course, he would do this with the masses. The very thing that he does here, he goes up on the side of the hill, he sits down, which is the position to teach from, and he starts telling him how it is, how it's all wrong. That what's been handed down from the ancients in chapter 5, he mentions it 3 or 4 times. I make me little notes out there. Like one of them is chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that the ancients were told, and then it says you shall not commit murder. And then he corrects and he tells them, like, if you've even had anger against your brother, it's the same as murder. He goes on and he says in 27, chapter 5, 27, you have heard that it said you shall not commit adultery. I tell you, like, if you look at a girl and you just really want her for yourself to use her, you've committed adultery in your hearts already. He's upping the ante of stuff. He goes down in 33 and says, you've heard the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows. You shall not, you know, and he goes on and he says, don't make a vow at all. I'm taking what's been handed down through all the years to you, and you're practicing it as if it's the Word of God, and all it is a bunch of traditions that have been added on to the real Word of God, and I'm exposing it for what it is. This is not the way it is. He goes on, verse 38, you have heard that it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth. I tell you, don't do that. Don't resist the evil person. He wants your coat, give it to him. You know, wants to do something, you know, another one, verse 43. You have heard that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to shine on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. There would be no news, no television, nothing to complain about if we live like this. And since we don't, they make money through commercials in between telling us this. Black is white, white is black. It's all a lie. And our culture is buying it. And our culture is empty and filling itself up with opioids and other things. 10% of all the internet is pornography because there's emptiness. Emptiness, just emptiness. All kinds of ways we're trying to fill the God-shaped vacuum that Pascal said, this hole in our being that only God will fill. So in chapter 6, he just starts giving some things to do. And if we look at them the wrong way, it sounds like a bunch of work. It's not work. It's how our dad does life. He just so happens to be the creator of all things. He's not saying, I want you to do this so that you little children will grow up if you'll do these things I'm telling you to do. Jesus is going, this is the way it is. He's chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. People were doing that then. People are doing that now. It's something to do with the soulish part of ourselves. If we're not paying attention to it, we'll just promote ourselves. It's just a soulish behavior. Otherwise, he says, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Do you skim over that second part of the verse? You will have no reward. Because if you're like me and you're raised in the South in a religious Christianity, how dare you spend any of your energy being concerned about rewards? Jesus is saying, look, there's a spiritual savings account. You got one. It's not an IRA. I figured out it's an ERA. It's an eternal rewards account. We need to put it up someplace out there. How's your ERA? Are you doing anything about it? He says the same thing. I'm going to jump around. He says the same thing over in chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Holy cow! Batman. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where no moth a rust destroys, but where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You and I have an account, a spiritual account. God is keeping up with it. Now, I don't look at the little passbook part, but he does. He knows exactly how much I have. He knows exactly. That's really scary because it's probably hope it's point, something, zeros, decibels, something, you know, sort of like pi, you know, R squared, you know, somewhere. So what should we work on? Chapter 6, verse 2. So when you give to the poor, Jesus is assuming, making disciples, sitting on the side of the mountain, that it's not if, maybe, it's not some deep theological thing that you should discuss, it's something you do as children of the living God. When you give to the poor, just people who don't have something, you give time, energy, or money, yours, your time, your energy, your money, maybe some of all of them that time, or maybe parts of one of them, but you give something you have to someone who doesn't have. He assumes this. There's no judgment in it. Just this is what God's children do. This stuff trickles into your ERA. He says, when you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Obviously, they really did. Hey, trumpet man, play. I'm about to give some money. and in the streets. They also do it in other places. I'm giving this poor person, look, silver. Yeah, there's another Pharisee down the street. I hear it now. And Sadducees, I'm sure they did too. In the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Okay? Verse 3, but when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, for your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your Father is a secret God. He's into this. He's into doing secret things. Haven't you had things done that he did for you and you didn't see it coming? And it just all of a sudden you walked around the corner and there was something he did. There was money sometime that was sent to you or something. Just strange stuff. Scary. That's because he's that way. Verse 5, and when you pray, oh gosh, look, there's another thing that you just, expectation of Jesus for the ones being raised as God's children. Clock's running. Oh, you give to the poor, time, energy, and money, and you pray. You're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have the reward in full. If you're like me, you just love it when someone prays half of the scripture of the Bible in front of you when you go, you know, if you just said, be healed, that would have gotten it in Jesus' name. You know, something shorter, a little shorter than something. Or when they preach at you in their prayers. Like, do they really understand what praying is? Praying is like our grandchildren. Or if you're a parent, you know, there comes a point, usually, when the child can speak well enough that the first sentence comes. And if you could remember this, you would know that this is the first among thousands. Because it always starts like this. You know what? And you know they're waiting for you, the adult, to make eye contact and say, what? Because they got you. And now they're going to tell you their big, long reason that the Joker has done something to Batman in the Lego set. And you weren't even in the room, but you get to hear the whole experience of the imaginary evolved Lego thing. And then when that one is done, you think you're free, but you're not. Because as soon as they take a breath, they go, you know what? Is that Batman? Yeah, see? As soon as you finish, they go, you know what? What? That's right. You know this voice, right? Now, look, real prayer is like that. Your dad knows that you'll get old enough eventually to say, Dad? And he's going to say in his way, maybe not with words, but in that, you know, communication, what, son, daughter? He's listening. He's been waiting for you to come to talk to him. I guarantee you, when you see him face to face, if you ask him, when was the very first time I said that to you, he'll tell you the day and the hour. He's kept it. He's kept everything. He's kept everything you said to him. He's kept everything you thought, everything that you dreamed. All the ones that were fulfilled and all the ones that were painful. All the ones that were full of tears because he was crying with you when that was happening. All the things that you don't understand. Why it's one person's child that the bridge falls on in Miami and not the car just behind it. Or half of the car, enough that they get to climb out through the back, but the other ones, it's a pancake. He's there. He's with all those families. He's in all the places of the pain of the earth. All the places that tsunamis shouldn't have formed and came and washed people away that were just minding their own business, sleeping on a beach somewhere because that's where they slept. He's not off somewhere. I do not believe in an agnostic God who made the place and left town. And even crazier, I don't believe that there was no one that made this. That black dark matter shook up nothing until it went, look, I hear a clock. It's, yeah, simply impossible. You cannot get sentient awareness out of nothingness. Ever. It will never. That it just doesn't work that way. Now, I have no idea where he came from and what part two is going to be once we see him face to face, but the clock's running. Tomorrow morning, and if Jesus doesn't come back, we will be a day closer. It is counting down. It was counting down. From the time he sent him out of the garden, it was counting down before that. It was counting down before he even said, let there be light. It's just, you know, Peter says, predestined. You know, it's just the clock has been running from the first idea in God's mind. I think I'll make me a family. The clock is going. The prophets hear it, glimpses of it, see it, pieces of it. It's going. And in the fullness of time, Gabriel comes to Mary, says, greetings. God the Most High is going to overshadow you and you're going to become pregnant. How can that be? I don't have a husband. Ah, yes, but he'll take care of it. In fact, Elizabeth, your cousin, she's 6 months pregnant and she's really old. Go visit her. Talk to her. But you, verse 6, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Bing. Right in the ERA. And when you are praying, do not use useless repetition as the Gentiles do. Oy vey, they drive me crazy. That's a little extra, but that's what he's saying. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Why don't you just say a real sentence to me? I know the idea behind using a rosary so that you know how many prayers that you've done is probably a good idea, you know, but it's not the rosary. It's not the repetition of that particular little prayer chain that they say each time the Catholic brothers and sisters use. I think it's so personal. I think it's so close. I think that if you had a rosary, you wouldn't even have to go through all the beads. If you just went, he'd go, I heard you. I knew what was in your heart before you even took it out of your pocket. Before you even went home, decided you were going to take it out of your pocket. I knew. I'm listening now. All across Christendom, all the different ways that we come to him. If we're coming to him and not doing some religious repetition, he's saying, I don't want that. It does nothing for me and nothing for you because it's not real. It's just an exercise. And actually, if we go there, and I won't, I have to go there for just a second, you know, the reason that it's so dangerous is because it's witchcraft. When you do something that you believe gets God to do something, that is practicing witchcraft. witchcraft is the manipulation of the natural forces or the gods or the God. He does not honor that. In fact, you need to go talk with each other because there's an issue there. And if it's a silly issue and something we don't mean to, well, then he still wants to talk. And like, can you just quit this before you really get into trouble? You know? So don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I have moments when I have a hold of that he already knows before I ask him. And when I'm in touch with that, I have no anxiety. My anxiety meter is based totally on the fact that I have lost touch with this. Because reality, my Father's a creator of all things and knows all things. So why should I get anxious? Let's jump over to 25 for a second, just because I want to. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor your body as what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, and don't gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? For who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. They're like weaving. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory is clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we put on and wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. I don't want you to be like Gentiles. I want you to be like the house of God, Israel. Spiritual Israel, grafted in, you and I are with the Jews and the Gentiles. We are one house who serves one God in one spirit, one. We are one, his people and he. We are with him. Don't be like the Gentiles eagerly seeking all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first his... What he's just saying is, our part is really simple. We just go, Dad, what do you want? What do you do? What do you want to do? You just keep your eyes open all the time. You just keep your ears open all the time, because in any moment your Father might give you an assignment or might just want to say something to you just because he's your dad. It's always the cool of the day with Dad. It's always the garden. He's not stressed about it. He's not stressed about Armageddon. He's not stressed about Jesus coming as the captain of the Lord of hosts and taking care of business. Dad's not stressed at all. Dad, with his watch, and his could be a Casio, I don't know, anything he wants it to be. It's ticking, though, you know? He's going to turn to Jesus and go, Jesus? Yes? Yes, Dad? What? I wanted to talk to you about Legos and Batman. No. He'll just go, it's time. I don't see how he sits there except that he's Son of God, Son of Man. I don't see how this goes on between them. Like Jesus is going. Maybe today, Dad. Maybe today. Shh. You've been saying this a long time. Just wait. I'll tell you when. Okay. But in his innermost being, he can't wait to come to begin the end. Because he's got to come before we can have a big party and a big wedding and a new heaven and a new earth and the rest. Look, Jamie, there's the Lord's Prayer, we call it, or the prayer of what we're... Verse 14, but if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And that is because our Father plays by the rules that he has set up. And his rules say, you reap what you sow. And I don't want the reap what you sow to go into action. So don't reap it. Or don't sow it. So you won't reap that. God has a spiritual boomerang. Don't you love all my little... That's not even written on here. I just pull that one out of the air. It's a spiritual boomerang. He never throws it and it doesn't come back. You and I never throw it that it doesn't come back. It always comes back and hits us in the back of the head. So what I need to do is not throw them. Or tell them to vape. Tell the Holy Spirit, would you like, hey, if I throw a boomerang, will you just tell me so I'll vaporize it before it gets back here? God, just pull that one down. Oh, I bless them. I know, Lord. Can't I just say that was a stupid left-hand turn? They were, no. Okay, just bless them. You know they almost sideswiped me right there on I-65, you know, and because they were, I saw they were on their phone. Like, I just pulled up, yeah? Yes, Lord. I know, Lord. I know if you had not let me pull over at Starbucks, I probably would have been hit. Can we just not, let's just talk about, look, God, I love that cloud that you made. I love all these trees. I love I-65. I love them in their car. You know, I have these are real conversations. My wife, thankfully, doesn't have to listen to them out loud, usually. She's driving. I'm on the other side. Or verse 16, whenever you fast, Pamela talked about that. Don't put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do. They neglect their appearance so that they may be noticed by men when they're fasting. Truly, I say to you, they've got their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Bing, ERA account. And this, then you can go on and you can read chapter 7. He's got more goodies in there. Those three chapters are disciple making, the real kind. He's come to make war and undo the traditions of men that had been set up down through the years, and that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and this was just in Israel, but had set up all these extras, these thousands of extras. There was like 5,000 rules that the Pharisees and them had added that they were to live by, you know. And Jesus, being Jesus, and loving relationship over religion, just says, we're not going to play by that anymore. we're just going to walk through this field because we only walk so far on Sabbath, and we're keeping the law, you know, the Jewish law. And I'm sure without even turning around, I can't prove it, but you just know Jesus, don't you? He's going between the wheat. He doesn't even turn around. He doesn't even break his stride. He goes, "Yes, Peter, you can eat some of the wheat. I know you're hungry and you reached for one a minute ago and was winking at John and put it in your pocket. Just go ahead and take it out and eat it." Don't you know? How could they live with him? And don't you know they're always trying to do something? I just love them. They're just so they're beyond us. We look good compared to them. You want us to call down fire from heaven? You want us to burn them? Hey, when you come in your kingdom, can we sit on your right and your left? I just love them. They're just... And Peter, oh gosh, Peter, wow, thank you. No, Peter, you're really cool. I'm sure I'll apologize for this. I appreciate you being so honest, though. If it's you, Lord, call me out of the boat. Call me out on the water. Nobody else got to sink in the water. And you know he didn't keep his mouth shut. You know later when Jesus was out of earshot, he didn't say, "Did you see how he grabbed me by the arm just in the nick of time? I mean, I was just about to rise up. I just almost had it together. And then he grabbed me." And somebody started a food fight probably. Because Jesus has gone up on a hill to pray. You know, like, I don't see him. He's not in the camp. Yeah, well. That was a stupid thing you said earlier. Well, you were stupid yesterday. Well, what about you? That demon was just dragging you all over. I mean, we were all got a good laugh out of that one. And wasn't it you, John, that he called men of little faith 2 days ago, I think, maybe? I'm done, whatever.